And your business, please.
Okay, my name is Lynn Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E. I'm an independent consultant doing business as Marina Incorporated. I have been involved in Alaska tourism for 30 years. I'm a prior president of the Alaska Visitors Association, a founder of the Southeast Alaska Tourism Council, and an incorporator of the Ketchikan Visitors Bureau. I faxed you, or the LIO in Ketchikan faxed you a four-page proposal that I have. I do not intend to read it because it would just take too much time. But maybe if I could just take a little time and cover some of the highlights on this. It's called Alaska Tourism Promotion, a Restructuring Proposal. Tourism today is one of the state's primary economic drivers. Each year, the Alaska travel industry lobbies the legislature for tourism marketing funds with varying degrees of success. And annually, the legislature demands that the industry match increase, although state appropriations shrink. This effort never provides the level of funding that is generally recognized as being needed. Compared with the annual tourism marketing investment of other states, Alaska has gone from third position in 1984 to 38th in 2002. A major reason that the legislature is reluctant to commit more money to tourism is that there is no revenue generation vehicle in place to provide an identifiable source of tourism money for the state. The Knowles administration further contributed to the demise of tourism by downsizing the Alaska Division of Tourism to the Office of Tourism and eliminating the Alaska Film Office. This reduction of visibility for tourism by the state is perceived by the public and legislators as reflecting the questionable value of this industry. Without solid administration support, it is difficult to convince the legislature that they should invest more of the state's money in tourism. They believe that this is the responsibility of the travel industry. Alaska tourism marketing functions presently are contracted with the Alaska Travel Industry Association. Without strong state support, Alaska's vast tourism potential will not be fully utilized. This is a renewable resource industry that needs public support in order for smaller communities and residents to be exposed to development opportunities. A statewide strategic tourism plan is needed to provide direction for the development of public sector infrastructure to support tourism, and a film office should be out there keeping Alaska in the sights of the movie industry. Here is a plan to address public sector Alaska tourism development and promotion. The Alaska Tourism Authority. The solution to generating tourism income for the state and providing the development tools that industry does not address is to create the Alaska Tourism Authority. This body would replace the Office of Tourism and be the lead tourism agency responsible for creating a vision and developing a long-range plan for tourism for the state of Alaska. The ATA would provide direction for the development of public sector infrastructure to support tourism on a statewide basis. Its mission statement would read, to manage the strategic growth of Alaska's visitor industry in a manner consistent with the economic goals, cultural values, and community interests of the people of Alaska. ATA would be charged with developing a tourism strategic plan which would identify common goals and also serve as a guide to ATA fulfilling its leadership role as a steward of Alaska's tourism industry.
Lynn, could I interrupt you just for a minute?
Certainly.
I appreciate this very much. Could you... rather than reading this, and we follow along with you, could you more or less distill it for us?
Okay, I will. I'll get
Thank
right
you.
to the cut here. It is suggested that the legislature introduce legislation creating a 2% tax on statewide transient accommodations. It would be, I recommended that it be called a transient accommodations tax, which would apply to hotels, motels, lodges, resorts, hostels, bed and breakfast, rental RVs, and so on. This tax would be in addition to any local bed and or sales taxes that are now in effect. And this would be the funding vehicle for the Alaska Tourism Authority, along with, and part of that, of course, would be the state's marketing program. which is recommended in my document that the Alaska Tourism Authority would contract, as is being done today with the Alaska Travel Industry Association, to prepare and implement an annual tourism marketing plan. That's really the that's cutting to the chase.
Thank you, Lynn. Questions from the committee? Representative McGuire?
Lynn, I'm just wondering, there's a statement here that this would be on top of any bed taxes that are currently in place in local communities across the state of Alaska. And I wonder what contact you've had with local governments across the state and what their response is to an additional tax on top of the local bed taxes they already have in place.
Well, I haven't been in touch directly with local governments, but I'm a member of the Southeast Conference Tourism Committee, and that organization represents all of the communities in southeastern Alaska. And that committee is presently studying this proposal, but they have not yet acted on it.
Okay. I would appreciate being kept in the loop when and if you receive correspondence from around the state.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Rick, do you have a question? Okay, Lynn, thank you very much for your testimony. We appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, then we need to go to Bruce Bustamante in, is he Anchorage? Doesn't say Anchorage. Bruce, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Would you state your name and your position, please?
My name is Bruce Bustamante, and I'm president and CEO of the Anchorage Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Okay. Could you go ahead with your testimony, please?
Well, I wasn't as well prepared as Mr. Lawrence, so I'll keep it very, very brief. But to a degree, we share the same interests in increasing the investment in tourism promotion, and currently the contracted association with the state of Alaska is the Alaska Travel Industry Association, and the ACDB is very supportive of increased funding to that particular organization, coupled with about the private sector investment. And over the span of 3 years, the private sector investment in ATIA has increased from roughly $2 million to nearly $6 million this year. And so I would leave it to the ATIA staff and executive committee to come up with the exact amount that they will be requesting, but just to advise that we're very supportive of that. And currently, there are discussions taking place regarding a sustaining funding mechanism, and currently we have members of the ACDB board that are currently active with ATIA on that issue. So really looking at our statewide priorities, that would be our top. We have some local priorities that contribute to the visitor industry that we'll be working on in Anchorage. One being the effort to build a larger civic and convention center, which contributes to the local economy and the visitor industry, not only in Anchorage, but in South Central Alaska. And I'm not sure if there'll be an opportunity to talk with the state legislature on that project, but it's certainly one that's been well studied and well supported by the business community. As a matter of fact, we're in our fourth year of feasibility studies and second phase studies on that, and right now the tentative timeline is to be back on the ballot, on the municipal ballot, in April of 2004 to pay for that project. So just briefly, those are the key issues I wanted to bring the body, bring to their awareness.
Okay, thank you, Bruce. Questions from the committee? Quiet group tonight. Yes.
Just a comment. Bruce, it's Liesl. I just wanted to thank you for all your hard work and keeping me in the loop on tourism issues, and I look forward to talking with you as the discussion continues.
Great. Well, and likewise, Liesl, and thank you for your support of the industry. We certainly are aware of it and very much appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Bruce. Let's see. At this point, I can either stop and show you all a gooey duck, or we can go right on with the presentation, starting with Margie Johnson.
Well, it's a great lead-in. I love gooey duck.
Okay, let's take. Let me just show you all. For those of y'all who
wake us up,
pardon?
Yes, wake you up a little bit.
For those of you who have not seen A live gooey duck? Where is the gooey duck?
It's right here, Jim.
Oh, I passed it.
They're great. Good eating. Saw a lot of them in my restaurant.
We were going to hear the gooey duck bill tonight, so this was... Oh, it must be taped. Sorry, it's taped.
Need a bigger lens on that.
Right. Just to let you all know, gooey ducks bury down into the sand, even underwater, and they have a neck that they can project up to 15 feet. They live, the average age is 30 years, some of them live up to 100.
That's a whole lot like we in the tourism business. We stick our neck out too.
True.
We live longer than 30 years though. Looks like it needs to be sautéed.
Here, we'll take him out and let him. He's alive.
Don't
he's still
it.
Alive.
I wash my hands
okay,
out.
Okay. And just take here.
Is he alive?
Here. Let's.
This is a lovely
boy. I don't think he's alive anymore. Is he still alive?
Yeah.
This is
yep.
Good,
yep. Still alive.
A good photo op moment. Oh, I love it.
Oh, he's dripping on Nancy.
That's okay. I have kids. It's okay.
Really, you should feel free to come and touch him. He's very interesting. And you all can take...
Are they always that cold?
No, we've had him in the fridge.
Oh, so how can he be alive then?
Keep him. He's still...
actually, he probably is that cold because where he lives.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Under the water again?
Yeah. Cold.
Bob probably knows a lot about gooey ducks. But actually, they're supposed to be delicious.
They are. They're absolutely great. They taste like razor clams.
Bob, will you come make a determination if it's alive or not?
Chowder. Mm-hmm. This is his neck, right, that he sticks up.
It looks like an elephant breast.
Yeah, the neck sticks out.
Out of the sand where the divers can see. And when they see this neck, yeah, he's alive, see? And when they...
Is he talking to you?
Yeah. When they stick their little neck up, then the divers come in with this kind of a wand, and it blows the sand.
It is. That's true.
And they get a hold of this, and then at that second, he is retreating his neck very, very fast. So they have to go very fast with this thing, and they get down to their arm, and then they can get about here and pull the gooey duck up. Now, in alive, they can, I think it's $8 to $10 a pound. Mm-hmm. Dead, they're around 80 cents.
Yeah.
So the object is... that you, Asia, Taiwan, really love the gooey ducks. So, mm-hmm. so we were going to hear the bill on gooey duck farming tonight, but we canceled that until the next meeting, which will be in 2 weeks. But
well, we appreciate your interest in it.
Just leave it open and let people look at it, and touch it. Yeah, if you'd like to touch it, and it feels kind of funny.
So I hope it didn't drip on you, Nancy.
Just my hand.
Okay, thank you for the indulgence. We went to a lot of trouble to get this for you all, so I wanted to make sure that you saw it.
And this way?
If it reaches out and grabs your neck.
Okay, we have now Margie Johnson, the new Director of International Trade and Tourism.
Yes.
Under the Department of Commerce. So Margie has a presentation for us.
Thank you. And thank you for being here tonight, everyone. Yes, for those of you whom I haven't met over the years, I'm of Cordova. I've been in the tourism business about 30 years there. And I have done a variety of things, from wash dishes to clean rooms to do my own marketing. When you're a small business person, you do it all. And I have been actively involved in statewide tourism all those years as well, through Alaska Tourism and Prince William Sound Tourism Coalition, which we founded. It's always been our experience that we need regional marketing, statewide marketing, and then local marketing. We feel that it's in the best interest of Alaska to think of visitors like a flock of geese. The state of Alaska needs to bring those geese to Alaska. The regional council needs to bring them to their region. The town needs to bring them to their town. And we as individual business people, whoops, I represent the state, individual business people need to bring them into their businesses. So that's kind of how statewide tourism works. But make no mistake about it, each and every Alaskan is in the tourism business, whether you're in telecommunications, whether you're a doctor or a painter or a lawyer, each and every one of us are in the tourism business. We must all promote tourism. And I'm proud to say that my two main passions in life are both tourism and seafood. So this job suits me extremely well. I'll be responsible for ATIA as well as ASB. And I'm delighted to report to you that I've got their various boards together, and today I got their directors together and said, we're doing the same thing here. We need to support tourism, we need to support seafood. So through this administration, you'll see a lot more of these joint marketing opportunities than you have in the past. In my individual department, we have a program called Alaska Host. And Alaska Host goes around and trains everybody that wants to be trained on how to treat a visitor. It's my goal. Last year, the department trained 333 people. I think maybe we should train 3,000 this year. And we need to train everybody who has anything to do with a guest. This would be the shoeshine guy in the airport. This would be bus drivers. This is bank tellers. This is a taxi cab driver. We just need to train them on the courtesies of how to treat guests. But here's the new twist this year. We also need to explain to them how important it is that every visitor just eat his share of Alaska seafood while he's here. And through this training program, we can explain the difference between Alaska seafood and the other stuff. So we can combine those two programs very, very nicely. And it's my pleasure today to introduce to you ATIA, who is our marketing partner. And the state, in its wisdom, about 5 years ago, combined a lot of departments. How many? Three? Alaska Visitors Association, the Department of Tourism, and so on, into one overall organization. It's worked very well. We have an excellent partnership with the ATIA. They're our marketing partners. And Mr. Peck will go over this visitor statistics with you. I would genuinely like to say that tourism were Alaska's bright star or were Alaska's North Star. We are, however, at this point, a rather dim star. Mr. Peck will go over some of the sad statistics, because the last few years, the visitor count has certainly been going down. It's certainly exasperated by 9/11. But there are other factors as well. Many of the reasons that we aren't getting the visitors that we used to get is just plain marketing dollars. We're out-marketed. We are the 38th in the entire nation. We rank clear almost to the bottom of the heap. So with that, I would like to introduce, unless you have any questions of me, I would like to introduce Mr. Peck, and he will go over the Alaska Travel Industry Association's report.
Any questions so far? Mr. Peck, come on up. But as you do, if it's all right with you, could the committee ask questions as you go?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, please state your name. And
my name is Ron Peck. I'm President and Chief Operating Officer of the Alaska Travel Industry Association. I've been involved in tourism and travel in the state for all 25 years of my professional life. Love living in Alaska. I've lived in Juneau and Anchorage on a number of different occasions, and I'm excited and pleased to be here tonight. What I'd like to do today is give you a little bit of a background about Alaska tourism, what it is, where we're headed, a little bit about the association and how we got to where we are today, and a little bit of a prognosis of what we think the state of the industry is in. And again, as Madam Chair mentioned, if you have any questions, please feel free to just holler out, and I'm more than happy to try to address them at that time. So with that, let's maybe if we could turn down one of those lights more. Okay, great. And that's bad. Let's talk a little bit just about what is tourism in Alaska. It provides jobs, generates revenue. It's definitely one of our major economic engines. It's very diverse, and it truly is a renewable resource. In terms of providing jobs, one of the things that we're very proud of is the fact that tourism is the highest of all key Alaska industries in terms of local hire rate. Virtually almost 80% of our businesses are local residents. We are the leading industry in South Central and Southeast and in the interior. Again, we provide 1 in 8 private sector jobs in this state. And we're responsible for almost 31,000 jobs employing Alaskans. What does that mean in terms of actual revenues? The most current information we have from our fiscal year is fall of 2000 to summer 2001. And 1.4 million visitors came to the state in that 12-month time frame. They spent $1.8 billion, which is an average of $1,260 per person. What does that mean in terms of real revenue for the state, local and otherwise? $124 million into our state coffers and local treasuries. About a little over $17 million of that is corporate income tax, gas tax, aviation fuel taxes, liquor excise, and tour bus taxes. Almost another 33 is in state parking permits, fish and game license tags, and business license fees, another $18 million to railroad and airport, and another $54 million in terms of sales, property, bed taxes, moorage and lightering fees. We are the second largest economic engine in terms of private sector in the state, second only to the oil industry. Now, we're proud of that, but we would hope that other sectors of the industry were continuing to grow also. Go ahead.
I wondered where the fishing industry fit in. I'd always heard the fishing industry touted as one in two largest private sector.
We believe that we are number two now, based on $1.8 billion annually.
So they're number three?
I think that's correct.
There's Representative McGuire. Representative Hines, is this seasonal, counting the seasonal employees, or is this just full-time, year-round?
This is just saying that we're the second largest. I guess the easiest way to say is we identify and quantify that. So we've given weight to employees that are not year-round.
Okay, so they're in
they're
there.
Included.
Okay, thank you.
Tourism is very diverse. We're not just rural, we're rural and urban. We are part of a big part of the transportation and infrastructure. We're planes, trains, automobiles, ships. We're retail and we're wholesale. And obviously, in terms of the experience itself, it's lodging, hiking, fishing, touring, cruising, you name it. We are a large and small business enterprise. That's a bit of a misnomer, a myth, I think. Some folks think we're all large, and that's not the case. One of the opportunities for small businesses, the barrier entries for entering into tourism are fairly low. But we're definitely a very diverse industry. And we like to say that tourism is the ultimate renewable resource. We believe that there's a lot of opportunity for responsible growth in the state. And the capacity for growth is directly tied to our willingness to invest in our future for tourism. Some of you know a gentleman named Dennis Brandon. He was speaking to a state chamber group in Fairbanks this fall. He basically said, if you can't drill it, if you can't cut it, mine it, or net it, you can always invite it. And we absolutely believe that. What is our message, and who are we? As Margie said, ATI is really a merger of three separate and distinct entities. The first entity is the Alaska Visitor Association, or AVA. And AVA was formed by some of our industry leaders and pioneers probably in excess of 50 years ago, folks like Jim Binkley, Chuck West, and others. And it really acted as a trade association to represent the needs of the industry. A number of years ago, a spinoff of that was the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council, or the ATMC, of which I was a member and served from private enterprise for 5 years. ATMC is the marketing arm. At that point, their task and goal, they had a contract with the state to create the vacation planner and to market in North America. Under DCED, there was a division of tourism, and the division of tourism task was planning issues, small business development, and they were also charged with international marketing. So the ATMC did not do that, DCE did. It was a belief that maybe we could be more effective and efficient given limited resources by combining those efforts into one, which is what ATIA is. We are a statewide membership-based nonprofit service organization. We're a 501(c). We have almost 1,000 members. When ABA was in existence, the membership was at about 500. So we're very proud of the fact that we've grown that almost double. We are under contract with the state of Alaska. We work with the Office of Tourism in terms of what our goals and directives should be to attempt to grow and bring more visitors to the state of Alaska. We continue to produce the vacation, the official statewide vacation planner, of which Margie's will pass around here. Thank you, Margie. There is an, as I mentioned, there is still an Office of Tourism that does do some planning and small business development.
Mr. Peck, Representative Hines, what happened to the, I mean, you're talking here, what happened to the film office that was in there in the Division of Tourism? When we're talking about the tourism marketing now, how have we shrunk to what?
It went away. The division, our division used to have a film department. It just simply evaporated due to lack of funding. One of our marketing specialists that we've just recently brought on board, we're going to assign him that duty. However, it will still be rather limited because it just simply isn't funded. We're missing a huge opportunity there, and I really think that it needs to not be beefed up. It needs to be seafooded up. Alaska could use a lot more promotion in that department. So we're working on that, but it's going to require some money.
This is Margie Johnson, speaking. On that point, how many people do we have now in the tourism office where there used to be a division? I understand the film office has gone away now, but are we talking maybe 10, 20, or two?
In my department,
right.
I think we have six in tourism.
Six in tourism.
The person who administers the Alaska Host Program.
And in our department, we'll talk about that a little bit later, we estimate we probably have a savings of about 50%. We're probably in the vicinity of 30 when you take into consideration the different departments and budgetary considerations. Of the three entities, there were three executive directors, probably in the vicinity of 30, 35 people, depending on how you allocate them. From the ATI standpoint, we're at 19. So we run very lean and mean. And again, the concept was to reduce the diffusion and the overhead and be much more effective and efficient and just focus on marketing, which is what we are always. So our vision statement is to promote Alaska as a top visitor destination domestically and internationally. As I said earlier, we are under contact with the state to provide tourism marketing. We do the vacation planner, and we will work very closely with Margie in terms of making that sure that our goals and directives are in line and in keeping with what the state wants them to do.
Can I just stop you for a moment?
Sure.
Does everyone on the committee understand that it's mailed to all across the United States? Well, actually, it's mailed worldwide, right?
Yes. And we produce a substantial amount of materials, that vacation planner, and also what we call much more of a sizzle piece, but just an invitation piece that we utilize in direct mail efforts. And I'll give you some numbers about how many people we generate in a little bit.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about our members and who they are. 38% are in the lodging business. 23% are literally tourist activities, fishing charter operators, day tour operators, etc. 15% are business services. 11% are in the transportation, and 10% are information services or where to ask. Who are our employees? Fully 90% of our membership are small businesses defined as 50 employees or less. 57% of our membership are 5 employees or less. So what that says to us all, I think, is, and it speaks to the fact that let's not discount at all the importance of the cruise ship industry, the importance of large hoteliers. But the bottom line is, we are definitely a small business economic sector. We're very proud of that. Just going to give you some statistics about contribution to the state in terms of the economic contribution from our visitors. In 1993 and 94 fiscal year, the contribution was basically $600 million. By the most current AVSP that we have, study of information that we have, that has grown to $1.4 billion in terms of visitor spending. One of the big entities that is very important to us and will continue to be, obviously, is the cruise industry. And these are statistics from a International Council Cruise Line Association, specifically on the Alaska economic impact. They will spend, in terms of goods and services provided by Alaskan businesses, over $600 million. They provide a portion of those 30,000 jobs I was talking to. When you talk about direct and indirect, they're responsible probably for over 14,000 jobs, and they provide another $470 million in wages and salaries. The cruise industry obviously is very important to us. Talk about our association and get to our $10 million budget this year. But since the beginning of ATIA, which has been in existence since fiscal year 01, the cruise contribution side, and this is separate and apart from their membership dues, this is separate and apart from their participation in our various boards, of which they spend their own money and their own time, and advertising that you may see in the planner that they have. In fiscal year 01, they contributed $800,000. Fiscal year 02, 1.4. And this year, they will contribute and are in line to contribute by the end of our fiscal year, almost $2 million. Another entity that is very important to us, as Margie said, we work to bring the folks here, and then we leave it up to some of those regional entities to get the visitor to come to their specific area. And our partners, such as the Juneau Convention and Visitor Bureau, Bruce Bustamante and the ACVB, of which we have a good relationship with, are important to us. But they also have stepped to the plate in terms of that statewide marketing effort. You know, one, they contributed $300,000, 02, $517,000, and this last year, this fiscal year, they will contribute $620,000. The other piece of our private partnership program is what we call pay-to-play contributions. And essentially what that really means is we have a variety of programs, including our memberships, also including folks who are buying advertising in the planner book and or who are buying advertising on our internet website and or who are participating in special programs that we might have from a marketing trade show participation internationally and domestically, press meetings that we may hold. We will generate about $1.8 million this year. One of the things that we do in our advertising efforts, Representative Hines, is, as you mentioned, we generate direct mail and generate leads or labels, and this year we will generate over 550,000 qualified names. For example, the Juneau CVB purchases 100,000 of those to solicit and get those folks to think about coming to Juneau for an independent vacation.
Mr. Peck, in explaining that, my understanding is that, for example, like in Alaska Airlines Magazine or somewhere else, there's a card you tear out, could you explain how they get to?
There are a number of ways that we generate those names and labels. Some are what you would call direct mail. So you, because of your buying preferences or your interest in certain things, may get a direct mail solicitation from us, actually signed by our governor, asking you to consider coming to the state. And we would then send you that information if you've expressed an interest in it, and we would also potentially create what we would call, you're a high potential lead for us. Then we would then distribute that to cruise lines, small businesses, Convention and Visitors Bureau to solicit them to come to that area of the state or purchase that specific product. In addition, I think what you're referring to is what we would call magazine advertising. And in that magazine advertising, we have commonly called BRCs, Bingo Response Cards, and says, are you interested in coming here or doing that? And as you click those things or check them off, you can then send them in, and we will forward those leads on also, which we would qualify or identify as high potential leads. Want to now get down to the important stuff, I guess, and that is where were we headed, what do we think's going on, and what's happened over the last 10 years. First of all, let's talk a little bit about our budget, and you've heard some of these numbers already from Mr. Lawrence and from Margie, but I'll go through some additional also. The average state tourism budget in 2001 was $13.7 million. In 35 of those 48 states that report, there are two states that do not, I'm not sure why they don't, but they don't, public sector dollars are sole sourced. Of the 13 states that do receive some private sector funding and some public, 80% of their funding comes from the public sector, from the states. Say, we are exactly the opposite of anybody else. And again, this just reinforces what I and others have said. For this last year, fiscal year 02, we ranked 38th in those 48 states. There are states such as Pennsylvania, Texas, Illinois, et cetera, that are spending substantially more than we are. This is the allocation of tourism dollars from the state of Alaska since the early 90s. As you can see, the trend has gone down. This figure is our actual ATI budget. Okay, so of the fiscal year 03, of that $10 million, again, $4 million is coming from state contributions, the remaining $6 million on the matching basis. The contract requires that we are to generate 60%. So to get the $4 million, we need to generate $6 million, which we will do.
Mr. Beck, would you mind going back one slide?
Sure.
As the tourism dollars have gone down, have the numbers also,
yes,
have they stayed in parallel with this?
I'll be happy to show you what's happened here. Next slide.
Okay.
The one thing I just wanted to mention that I'm very proud of is the fact that our group, of our $10.6 million, and the reason that you see $6 million or additional $600,000, we do have some other funding that we generate that we don't identify specifically as marketing. We have an auction, we have a convention, and we have some miscellaneous funding. But of that 10.6, fully 94% goes to marketing. We're very lean and mean, and we think we do a very good job for the state. As I said, we have 19 employees, and I'm very proud of the effort that they do. I'll be real quick because I want to get to your question. This is, again, just a breakdown of that $10 million. The state contract is 40% or $4 million. Partnership programs, which I mentioned earlier. The cruise ship industry, which is the 20% or $1.9 million. DMOs or Convention and Visitors Bureau is at $600,000 or 6%. So what's happened to growth? In the early 90s, which is where we were, you know, in double digit in terms of $1 million spending, our growth was fairly solid. It was 5 and 7 and 8, and in the mid 90s we actually were in double digits. As you can see, in the last 2 or 3 years we've actually flattened off to the point that there was no growth last year. We were flat from 2001. This is just percentage of growth, and again, it just exemplifies that the growth is gone. Now, if you can compare that to state of Alaska funding in millions, which is what you were asking me, Madam Chair, if you look at this stat, it shows the growth which was occurring. Now, remember, when you're doing marketing, you're marketing farther out so there's a bit of a gap there. But essentially, it's saying the answer to your question is, as funding has slowed down or decreased, so has the growth of visitorship. This is total spending if you were to take an aggregate private and state monies, but the graphs still show the same thing. We have lost our growth.
Mr. Peck, it did 9/11, I don't see, I've been watching this and I don't see a serious impact, it looks like.
Well, if you look at 00 to 01 and 02, I'll be happy to address that. I think there's a couple of issues there. Number one, we have seen some changes in our economy, and the type of visitor who comes to the state, by and large, is very interested in what's going on with their retirement, their 401ks. And I believe 9/11 amplified problems that were already there. Of the 1.2 million visitors that came in 2002, There, and if you compare 2002 to 2001, there was only one sector of business that grew, and that, in fact, was the cruise industry. Now, you can see their growth slowed down substantially. But in 2001, folks who, what I would identify as a cruise customer, there were 690,000 of them. That grew by 4% from 2001 to 2002. The interesting part about that is their inventory, the number of berths that they had in the marketplace, grew by 12%, which means they didn't fill all their ships in the fashion that they would have liked to. And I will say, in the 25 years that I've worked in the industry, I have never before seen a cruise ship sell for 7 days on season for $499. And that happened last year, and it wouldn't surprise me if it happens again this year. So let's just say that their yields were down dramatically. The bad news for that is there's a lots of other impacts that have on other sectors of our industry and other locations, because the price point becomes so small that folks are opting out and doing other things, or they're opting out of doing other land tour things because they believe the price differential is so large. And we can talk about that in a few minutes. After this summer's flat season, we wanted to confirm what we believed occurred. So prior to our convention in October, we commissioned the McDowell Group to survey and find out what really was going on so we could have some solid information. McDowell Group surveyed over 315 tourism and industry-related businesses throughout the state. We wanted to get a good broad spectrum of who was there and who wasn't. They contacted and surveyed not just ATI members, but also non-ATI tourism businesses. The survey revealed the following, that tourism is in fact down, flat, or worse. Nearly 50%, half of the businesses 49% of the businesses that they contacted said that overall they experienced a decline in volume in 2002. So what that says is, if there were 1.2 million visitors this last year in 2002 and in 2001, and the cruise industry grew by 4%, the other industry dropped by 6%. So what I'd say is the non-cruise customer, Adventure, Echo, bird watchers, independents, fly drive folks, fishing lodge operators, all of them lost business in the aggregate. Again, despite that 4% increase in the cruise passenger, 61% of the Alaska businesses that depend primarily on cruise traffic experienced a decrease in volume. And what I mean by that is, if you talk to folks in the interior, John Binkley and his riverboat operation, or folks who have shore excursions here, some of them saw their business go up and others saw a real decline. And I'll suggest to you it has to do with pricing, and I'll suggest to you that it has to do with who's on that ship. And what I mean by that is, if you've got someone who's purchasing a $499 cruise, highly unlikely that they're going to spend $200 or $300 to take a helicopter trip. Highly unlikely that they'll spend another $700 or $800 to take a land tour all the way into the interior of Fairbanks and Seamount and McKinley and Denali. More likely they'll get off the airplane and go home. So that's the kind of business that we know. Frankly, there are some businessmen and gentlemen that you all know right here in this town, Bob Denninger, who said he had a very good year. He had a good year because the salmon bakes are lower end. Not that that's bad, but that, you know, we want all sectors of our tourism industry to be healthy, and they're not. Some other information that we found in terms of what was happening, 96% of the businesses that are related to overseas international travelers saw a real decline. 81%, as I mentioned, that adventure travel, and 65% of the sport fishing businesses that were contacted said they experienced a decline in revenue and or volume. This just confirms some of the information that I've been saying. We ourselves, ATIA, contacted a number of our CVBs, checked on highway and airport information. This last year, Petersburg, and this is based on a sales tax, down 9%. Anchorage hotel revenues, even though we all know that Anchorage has had huge growth in terms of hotel rooms, their actual hotel revenues this season was down 4-6%, June, July, and August. And I want to say, you know, they've done a great job, yeoman's effort in trying to bring as much business they can to the state from a convention standpoint. But in the heart of the season, June, July, and August, when they're relying on tourism, not so much the convention business, they were down. Again, the city of Fairbanks, Fairbanks North Star Borough bed tax, again, was down 17.6%. I don't know if I mentioned this, but they were the hardest hit. 87% of the business in the interior experienced a downturn. Kenai was one of the three months of the summer season, they were up 11%. We believe that has to do with local and state residents visiting and fishing. Skagway was flat, and I think that's a little bit of a misnomer, because part of the reason this Skagway figure is based on border crossings. There was a new tour that was a Jeep tour, and there were 6,000 border crossings. So if you take those out, they would be not flat but down. And lastly, highway traffic continues to be a challenge for us. We're down 13%. And that has been a downward trend for a substantial period of time. And we're concerned about that and want to do some things to try to fix that. Airport employments, in fact, for this summer, statewide at the four major airports, Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, and Ketchikan, were actually down 1.5%. Anchorage was down a little over 1%, Fairbanks down 1%, Ketchikan 2.5%, and Juneau down 5.6%. A lot of people in the business, in the industry, knew, based on things that we were saying at ATI and others in the industry, so they did some things differently. They hired less staff. They reduced their inventory, whether it's charter boat operators or car rental and RV folks. I can tell you right now, there's a large number of RV rental folks in Anchorage that pulled down the number of RVs that they sold. Same with car rental people. And anecdotally, I just picked up last week that probably five RV guys that went out of business in the South Central Anchorage area this last year. They did more marketing in state to try to shore up some of that, the business holes that they saw, and they discounted prices more than they have in the past. When I was working at prior to this job at Alyeska Resort, and I can tell you that's true. We did do that. Bottom line is, tourism resource is too important to shortchange, which is why we're going to be asking for additional funding from the state. Any other questions?
Questions? Oh. Are we marketing the Alcan?
Yeah. In fact, we have a number of programs specifically geared towards the Alcan. One of them is with our friends in British Columbia, Yukon, and Alberta, and it's called Tourism North. We create a separate invitation piece for them. In fact, we're not pleased with it, obviously, and we are going to use it as an advertising piece in the past. This year, we're going to make it much more what we would call an invitation piece, less advertising and information about, and more getting folks to be interested in coming up the Alcan. Now, I will tell you what that piece is called. It's called North to Alaska. There's a good reason for that. Folks in British Columbia and Alberta and the Yukon know that folks are coming on the Alcan to come to Alaska. Now, they will do what they can to try to get them to stay as long as they can in their respective regions and areas, but it's still the lure of coming to Alaska. We do have some challenges, to be real frank with you. Obviously, the exchange rate, and we know of some things anecdotally, but we haven't been able to really confirm it from a market research standpoint, and that's one of the things with an additional budget. We are going to do some very extensive market research to find out what's going on with the Alcan highway traffic. In 2002, the United States experienced the highest single first quarter of RV sales it ever experienced. That did not translate to more visitors for us. Now, we think there's a couple of reasons that make sense. More boomers are buying those RVs. And someone in my age group is a little bit less likely to spend 30 days or 25 days to come to Alaska for a trip, versus if you live in Missouri, you might just, do an extended week trip. And they're wanting to stay closer to home. So one of the questions is, should we be marketing more to get folks to fly and then rent RVs when they're here? And we've got some other things that we're hearing in terms of border crossing problems with folks who've got a record and, charges the Canadians are asking them for if they want to get through, specifically involving DUIs. And I also think anecdotally some folks have said that they believe, people who are buying land yachts, $500,000 to $700,000 RVs, there's a perception that the road is going to tear their vehicle up, and we think that that might be part of the reason. So it's a complex issue. We don't have all the answers, but we know darn good and well we need to spend some money to try to find that out and make sure we're spending our Alcan tourism dollars in the right area.
Any other questions? Oh.
It's not really a question. It's just a comment. You know, last year I voted for extra money for the tourism industry. I've also voted for a fiscal plan. We didn't do either one. Mm-hmm. I know that this year we're looking at serious cuts throughout government, and I understand that the travel industry is a major employer and brings money into the industry, mm-hmm. Into the state. But when we're cutting in every other sector of government, it's going to be real hard for us to look at, you know, today we had the school boards from all over the state talking about they need more money for their schools just to keep providing the same services that they were last year. And it's every day. Folks are looking for more money, but we can't come up with a fiscal plan, and we can't seem to come up with any new revenue for the state. I mean, I'm sorry, but we're going to be between a rock and a hard place, if you ask me. Yeah.
May I respond to that? Or
Please.
I don't suppose to say that there's not a fiscal gap problem. We fully understand that. But we do believe that we can present to you a case that will help generate a very good return on our investment. We believe that we could generate an additional $336 million in terms of visitor expenditures. So we think it's a good return. But we understand fully that you have fiscal gap challenges.
Mr. Peck, I also heard an idea that ACVB could take over all the marketing for all the tourism in the state. Do you think there's a possibility of that working?
No. And first of all, I want to qualify what I said, but ACVB is an outstanding operation. They do what they do greatly. But I would suggest to you that their destination management organization is to promote folks to come and visit South Central, not Nome, not Fairbanks, not Ketchikan, nor Sitka. And I'm not sure those residents of those other areas would appreciate nor believe they would get a fair shake. And I just want to qualify that by also saying ACVB is, you know, a partner of ours, and we have members of their staff that are on our various boards, and we want to continue to work with them. In fact, have done so on a number of international things, and will want to continue to do so.
Thank you. Did any other questions from the committee?
No.
No? You're quite group tonight.
Well, I'll ask one.
Crimson to Corey.
That drew me.
Yeah. I'm actually have to leave in a few minutes here, so I should probably ask my question now. Having to do with generating revenue, I was looking at your proposed plan here of taxing the industry, folks in the industry, hotels, hostels, lodges, resorts, breakfasts, and all that. Have you approached the folks in the industry, and do they, in fact, want to be taxed?
I think what you're referring to, Representative Corey, is the piece from Len Lawrence. Is that correct?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. That's his own piece. I want to qualify that by saying we as an association have said for a long time that in order for any form of a tax, it needs to be broad-based, equitable, fair for everyone. And I think as Mr. Bustamante mentioned, we have been looking at opportunities and ways to generate potential long-term sustainable funding. We've been in contact with our own board. I've personally spoken to folks at the Marine Highway System, White Pass Yukon Railroad, the Fairbanks Convention and Visitors Bureau, Anchorage Convention and Visitors Bureau, the Alaska Hotel and Motel Association. And I would suggest to you that if at some point in time we were able to offer funding source that was long-term, equitable, and fair to everyone, we would want to make sure that we could get the support and backing of everyone in the industry, otherwise it's not going to fly.
Well, fair to everyone, everybody in Alaska or everybody in the tourism industry?
In the tourism industry.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to say as a small town hotelier, it always struck me as odd that everyone wanted to tax just the hotels, but not the cars, not the kayak rentals, not anything else. If it were broad-based, I think it would be more widely accepted than if it were just targeted to one segment of the industry. That would include car rentals, kayak rentals, tours, all such things.
A philosophical question for you, and I really appreciate the tourism industry, and there's been a lot of effort on your part to promote the industry, and I know Linda Anderson and many others who I've talked to I play a very integral role in that, but philosophically, why do you think you should get money from the state of Alaska when other industries do not likewise get industry from the state of Alaska?
Well, I guess what I'm suggesting, whether it's $2 million, $10 or $20 million, it's a way to promote folks to come to the state. Now, whether you're building a road to Rampart or assisting someone else in some other infrastructure help. This isn't necessarily infrastructure help, but it is seed money that's going to bring back substantial return.
Is it going to bring back return to everybody, though?
Absolutely. In terms of everybody, what I'm suggesting to you is, if you look at our membership base, Representative Corey, 90% of those people are small businesses.
And in addition to that, the CVBs and the facilities that are created as a result of the visitor industry, the hotels, the expresso stands, even after the visitors go, we in Alaska can continue to use those facilities. So whether it's a hotel conference room, a CVB here, Juneau, Fairbanks, better facilities at our airports, as a result of the visitor industry, we Alaskans enjoy those benefits. So yes, every single Alaskan benefits from the visitor industry.
I'd like to see some statistics that back that up.
In terms of what I thought you were asking me was, our industry benefits a substantial number of businesses throughout the state, okay? So maybe I misunderstood your question.
I just want you to justify to me why I should support giving you more money when there's other industries out there that make up our economy that aren't getting subsidized either. You know, you got your oil industry, your timber industry, your construction industry, where are their subsidies? What makes you different from those where we should be giving you money and not them?
Well, as I said, I guess I'm not going to be able to stand here and tell you what kind of subsidies you're giving, but there are a variety of different opportunities, whether it's a road to Rampart or if it's other assistance the government gives. I'm just suggesting to you that stating that our $4 million that we get right now, which is matched by $6 million from the private enterprise, goes to benefit the overall economy of the state of Alaska.
Well, I make the same arguments with any industry. Construction does the same, as does oil and gas, as does timber, as does fisheries. So I'm just questioning why there ought to be a subsidy to the industry when other industries don't get those subsidies. We're subsidizing the industry $4 million, as you just pointed out 30 seconds ago.
Well, I do know there are other industries that do get a support and assistance, such as ASME, the fishing industry. And I'm not here to say that we want all sectors of the industry of our state or economics to grow. So there are other sectors out there that do get assistance.
Representative McGuire.
I just want to jump in and make a comment. It's an interesting question that Representative Coring is posing, and I think it's a difficult one to answer because it's tough to tell how far down the benefits trickle in an economy. Margie Johnson just made a statement about infrastructure, and that's part of it, the infrastructure that comes from things that are built, the jobs, the wages that an employee might make if that job weren't otherwise there, that pays, that goes toward a sales tax in some communities, that individual in turn who owns the business is paying payroll taxes. There's all kinds of interesting aspects of it. But I think one of the things that has disappointed me the most in coming to the state legislature is sometimes we're very short-sighted in how we look at things. And I see the future of Alaska, and I'm trying to think about what kinds of things we can do to grow the base that we have. I mean, I don't think an income tax, I don't think a sales tax, I don't think any of those things, you could put them high enough to bail us out of the situation that we're in. And I don't think cutting is going to get us there either. And so I think what we're trying to look at is growth. In order to grow something, you have to have a little bit of an investment sometimes. And I think in the tourism industry, it is one of those where if you look around at Hawaii as a great example, another state that is abundant in natural resources and the kinds of things that attracts a visitor, that state government invests tremendously in its tourism industry because it recognizes that it's going to get back. What's been disappointing to me is I think that Alaska has slowly reduced the amount of investment to the point where I'm not sure you are seeing as much of a return. So we're pointing at a result, but we need to also look at the way that we have short funded that industry as well. And it's an interesting question. I see what Representative Corning is saying. I hear what Representative Crawford is saying. When you put it side by side with school funding and things like that, it's easy to say, well, we've got to fund education, and I don't disagree. But I think it's important as lawmakers that we continue to look out in the long term and we continue to look at the kinds of investments that we can make as a legislature to expand our economic base, the kinds of things that are going to bring back jobs and what those jobs mean in terms of not only the taxes that are paid by businesses, but what they mean to a community and what they don't mean, which means you're not on Medicaid, you're not on welfare, you actually have a job, you're contributing to the economy. And I think another thing about tourism that is important to point out is that it is statewide, that you can have tourism in every little small village and community across the state of Alaska. And it's something that is unique in that way. Timber is only in certain regions. Mining is only in certain regions. Fishing is only in coastal communities. But tourism is statewide. And so, you know, I'm biased in this area. I really see a lot of investment opportunities. I'm not saying that the state should subsidize tourism 100%, but what I see is a private industry that is willing to step up to the plate and more than match what the investment Alaska has made, which I don't know that you can say about every industry that the state of Alaska has invested in. So I'm supportive of continuing our investment. I'm supportive of looking at whatever we can do to help this industry grow because I think it is vital, and I think what we're going to see as our natural resources begin to erode, this is a renewable resource that we have. It's never going to go away. Alaska's beauty, provided that we take care of it, which I think we will, is never going to go away, and so I think it's something that we should continue to invest in.
Mr. Peck, on that point, I'd like to say that as we watch other economies go up and down, oil and gas, fisheries, whatever, tourism has stayed fairly stable. It is, as Liesl says, a sustainable economic engine.
Yes.
And I think we need to nurture that as best we can. But any other questions? Okay, thank you, Mr. Peck, so much. Next, we have Pamela Bowl, President of Alaska State Chamber.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and you'll be glad to know I plan to be ever so brief. I would like to say that, you know, the mission of the, excuse me, I am Pamela Bowl, I'm President of the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce, and the mission of the State Chamber is to promote the planned orderly growth and development of Alaska through strong private sector business leadership that influences statewide economics and politics. And one of our six strategies for achieving the mission is support the efforts to develop and promote Alaska as a foremost visitors destination. We believe that tourism is one of our greatest resources. And we believe, and I so admire what you've said, Representative McGuire, the way that you made the point that we have to promote, we have to make some investment in order to bring this resource to its potential. And we are up against some other beautiful places in this country, and people are less inclined to leave home in the circumstances of today's atmosphere, political and international atmosphere. And so our marketing needs to be strong, and we can no longer rely on the fact that, you know, people are just ready to get in an airplane and go somewhere. Or, and the cruise industry, with the cut rate prices they've been bringing people up with, those people are spending their whole $500 on the ticket to get here, and they're not going to spend another dime once they get here, because, you know, they're at a different economic strata than what we've experienced in the past with the higher cost passengers. And so the industry's hurting, and the state, if we're going to continue to have jobs in the industry, have people committed, these are small business people, and if they don't make it, then they're going to pull up and go someplace else. They've got their lives and their economic fortunes invested in what they're doing here today. And if we want Alaskans to have a place to raise their children and their grandchildren, we have to make sure that the economy continues. Now, I fully understand, and certainly all the people in that are involved in the business community and the Chamber of Commerce understands the situation that we face as a state, in that, you know, bringing people here, keeping people here, costs the state money, and it's not making the state money because we don't have a tax structure. And that is a problem that I don't have the answers to, and I don't think, at least I haven't heard any answers in the several years I've been listening to the debate now. But the bottom line is, we have Alaskans that have made an investment in the state, and we need to make sure that they have an ability to make a living here and have a future here. Thank you.
Very true.
Thank you, Pam. Oh, were there any questions for Pam? No?
Okay. A question for Margie, though.
Okay, Margie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just real brief, you had mentioned that this past season you had recruited and trained 300 people on
my department.
Okay, on people type skills, and the goal was this year for 3,000. How? What criteria did you use to pick who those people were? And
yeah, the division has a trainer, and through that there are 24 other. She administers the program to 24 other trainers around the state. I think it hasn't been used to its fullest potential, quite frankly. When I looked at the number, I was pretty embarrassed, 300. Coming from the private industry, that just absolutely shocked me. That's why it's my intention to really beef up that program and to work with the local CVBs and even the local fishing groups to make sure that everybody in the community that wants to get trained can be trained. We've all had the experience of going to a rural Alaska town and getting a colorful bus driver or a taxi cab driver that ain't real happy to see you and just assume you were someplace else. And while we take that kind of lightly, visitors don't. You know, visitors like to feel welcomed, and we need to train everybody, and the program will be free to those folks. So I genuinely hope they take advantage of it.
Any other questions? Well, thank you all very much. I'd like to say that we're having our pictures taken because we're going to be in the new Alaska book, and the page was donated to us. So thank you for your indulgence of us getting our pictures done tonight. And if no other questions, the meeting will be adjourned at 6:36. Thank you.